little music reviews going on.
Yeah.
Some music reviewing going on during the breaks.
Not fit for public consumption, eh? Hey,
no, it's all good. It's all fit for public consumption. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome.
Morning,
it's
go.
The, it's, oh, let's put here, let's put that in front of you.
There you go.
There you go.
Once again.
It's the 5th of July, and I hope you had a lovely holiday. It's great to be back. Beautiful. My God, could we have asked for better weather? It was just gorgeous
beautiful.
And perfect, and hopefully everybody had a wonderful time, and if you were lucky enough to have the day off, I hope you enjoyed it. If you were lucky to have some time off, I hope you enjoyed that. It was pretty perfect. So we're back to business today, and we have a lot to talk about, a lot of stories that broke over the weekend, and we can catch up on those this morning. We welcome your comments, your letters. We love them, you know. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Shartok is with us. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, group.
Good morning, Alan. Good
morning, Alan is here and ready.
We went to JT. I know you went on. You went 2 nights ago on the 3rd.
Sunday night, yeah.
We went last night, so I'm a little tired this morning. But I have to say he was magnificent.
You only went to the first set. You only saw the.
Did
first?
I say that?
Did you?
Did
you
I see
the whole
did
thing?
I say that?
I don't know. You told me that earlier. You're not supposed to.
Did I say that?
I thought the Vegas rule applied to the off-air conversations.
Right. I
didn't know it was confidential information.
No, he showered the people with love, and Alan was there for all of it.
No,
okay.
And he did shower the people. And what's the great backup singer who sings the solo? And
McCullough.
McCullough.
My God, he's amazing.
He was terrific, as always, and the audience goes crazy for him. And
great stuff.
Yeah.
Really great stuff.
And JT is so conversant with the audience. You know, I've been listening to the reviews. I didn't go. Roselle went to hear Dylan and said he was great, but almost everybody else didn't like him because he didn't talk to the audience, in direct contrast to JT, who loves the audience.
He has a very, I heard it described as a sort of kind of a host guest kind of dynamic that JT has. And Dylan did it was like a
did a lot of Sinatra, right?
A Sinatra album, right?
Doobie doobie doo. That must have been something to
and
hear.
And also things like those Autumn Leaves.
Sinatra, right?
He sang that.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, and then Mavis Staples apparently blew the roof off the place. Yeah,
decidedly did not do Sinatra.
No,
I would
did
imagine.
Not. Decided against the Sinatra stuff. But he did Blow in the Wind as an encore, so there you go.
Terrific.
All right.
With
well,
the original music? Because, as you know, he
with an, with an arrangement by Nelson Riddle. It was very interesting.
As you know, he likes to change the music.
Yeah.
On his.
Oh yeah, but that's good. Change is good, right?
No, that's bad.
Oh, okay.
So we welcome Alan and
thank you.
Ray Graff is here.
Hey,
as well.
That's
good
great.
Morning.
Thanks for having me. On
it's
this day
always
after 4th of
always
July.
Good. I was texting back and forth with Ray yesterday as we were enjoying our 4th of July holidays. I just wanted to make sure we had a panel.
You almost interrupted my flow. I was grilling by then.
We were both drinking and grilling, I
yes,
believe.
Yes, drinking and grilling.
And our first novel. we're going to co-write it. Rich Honan also was in the loop as I was going through, and it was very nice to be with us this morning.
I was drinking too. Which is
good.
I woke up this morning and said, oh, what did I do?
Yes.
Now, what's the email address in case people hate Rich?
Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Yes.
Ray at his best.
They'll love him today. They love him
of
every
course.
Day. Everything will be fine. Okay, so let's set the golf ball on the tee for Rich to hit it out of the park. The FBI interviewed Hillary Clinton over the private email server over the weekend. This was timed for Saturday morning on a holiday weekend. The FBI interviewed Hillary Clinton on Saturday for its investigation into whether she or her aides broke the law by corresponding through a private email server set up for her use as Secretary of State, a controversy that has dogged her presidential campaign and provided fodder for her political rivals. The voluntary interview, which took place over 3.5 hours at the FBI headquarters in Washington, largely focused on the Justice Department's central question, did the actions of Mrs. Clinton or her staff rise to the level of criminal mishandling of classified information? Now, it seems to be, and panel, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it seems to be that most legal opinion seems to suggest that little or nothing will come out of this as far as the answer to that question, did the actions of Mrs. Clinton rise to the level of criminal mishandling of classified information? I bring it to
Is that, you say most legal opinion. I think that's the political opinion, right? I think everybody just assumes that Hillary Clinton's not going to get indicted by Barack Obama's Department of Justice.
Okay. So, but also the rather bipartisan board that are looking at this issue with, granted, the little information that we have. Or at least with the information that we have, I don't know if it's little, the investigation's been going on for a long time, have sort of concluded that it would be a very, very difficult thing to prove if that were the case and to go further. Is that fair to say?
I'm asking
Rich first because he's a lawyer.
Yeah, I don't know that. Well, first of all, I've read the statute, you know, the Section 793, the Espionage Act, and to me, you know, the question is, you know, did you handle, you know, and it's not classified information. It's information relating to the security of the United States, you know, in a grossly negligent way. So it really comes down to, was it grossly negligent to put this information on a private server without the imprimatur of the State Department? That seems to me like a fairly easy case to make, should the FBI want to make it. I just don't think they want to make it.
Well, according to the New York Times piece from, I think it was Saturday, the State Department Inspector General's audit of Clinton's email practices said there was, quote, no evidence that she had requested or received approval for the server, despite having an obligation to discuss using her personal email account to conduct official business.
Yeah, I think she clearly violated internal State Department rules, but
yes, but is it criminal?
The question is going to be, and you know, it comes back to, was it grossly negligent? You know, you have a case of somebody who was convicted under the same statute for accidentally throwing out the classified documents, actually throwing them out, like publicly, like in a dumpster. Yeah. You're not supposed to do that, you know? I'm not sure how different it is to put classified or intelligence-related information on a private server. And I think, I'll say one other thing. I think the fact that she did not get State Department clearance moves the presumption against her. If she had gotten clearance or something, and then there was some problem with the server, then I think she would have been able to point to that clearance. But I think the fact that she did it on her own and then, you know, kind of worked to not work with the investigation, I think that to me shifts the burden of proof. Kind of, I think the presumption is against her, and it's on her to show that she didn't do something wrong.
Alan, you have been listening to this conversation. What do you have to add?
Well, I have a small problem with the Clintons, and I have for a long time, and that's a certain arrogance that we can do things that we shouldn't do. I don't happen to think it's criminal. I think she was the Secretary of State. She was the head of the department. You know, obviously she was making some rules for herself. But I still think she shouldn't have done it. And she knew what the rule was. I don't think she's going to be indicted. I don't think she should be indicted. There's a major presidential campaign that is about to unfold. However, it has gone pretty far. And the fact that she had to go and submit with a whole bunch of lawyers, a gaggle of lawyers with her when she went for her interview with the FBI. It troubles me.
It's voluntary, though. In other words, she didn't have to.
No.
Well, when you're the target, it's always voluntary, right? Because
because
if it's not voluntary, then they subpoena you and they have to give you immunity.
Yeah.
And I personally, I've never had whenever I have allowed someone to talk directly, whenever I have allowed a client to talk directly to the authorities, it's because I felt pretty good about what they were going to say or about the case.
Isn't it interesting, though, and again, this is from the New York Times piece, the campaign, and I'll quote, the campaign has prioritized assisting the FBI, but it declined to cooperate with the State Department Inspector General's audit of Mrs. Clinton's email practices. Why?
Well, because I don't know. That's an internal campaign matter, but I think they have no shot of of proving that they were in compliance with State Department regulations. I think they're just trying
to
avoid.
So don't add fuel to the fire.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to avoid. And it does. It doesn't matter. I don't think anybody thinks that, again, that the Obama administration is going to indict
him. But is the damage done politically?
No, because.
So you think Obama's a liar, right? Because Obama said, I'm not interfering, and I'm not going, and let the process go forward. So you, Rich Honan, are calling him a liar.
I am. And was that before or after his private 1-hour meeting with Loretta Lynch?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was before.
You think a president can't meet for an hour with his top justice official?
Why?
What do you mean, why? For a thousand reasons.
I would want to meet with my attorney general.
But why for a private meeting? I mean, now this is a president who is famous for not meeting with his cabinet members. And that was reported even by MSNBC early on in his first administration. There were cabinet members he hadn't met with for 6 months.
And
in the midst of this, he decides to have a 1-hour meeting. And then a couple of weeks later, Bill Clinton has
his walk across the tarmac
with her.
An attorney general reports to the president. He's one of the top officials in his cabinet. I don't know whether he meets with the housing and or human services people. I'm sure he has people that do that. But for the top justice official or secretary of state or others, yeah, you meet with them, Rich. And you're sort of making a whole thing out of whole cloth. I just think it's not nice what you're doing here.
I don't think she's going to get indicted. I think
yeah, but what you're implying is she's not going to get indicted because the president is going to be shilling for her.
Anybody else, and I'm not talking Democrat, Republican, anybody in the administration, in any administration, who took information from the government and put it on a private server, you don't do that in private practice. You don't do that at GE. You don't do that in my firm.
Well, there are
you
those
don't do that anywhere else. Anybody else, and people have been indicted on lesser charges.
But there are those who have said that this has been going on as we have become more technologically efficient or inefficient, depending on how you look at it, that this happened during the Bush administration, this happened with Colin Powell, that this happened with even John Kerry.
No one ever did it, Joe, without the State Department's approval and basically trying to elude the Department's approval. And I think, again, once you do that, you have shifted the burden of proof from the government to yourself.
Well, I don't know that it's been proven that she was trying to elude.
It's been proven that she did not ask for approval.
Well, I started this out by saying when Joe called on me that, you know, I don't like the fact that she did it. And I don't like the fact that the Clintons have on from time to time played fast and loose with the rules. Nevertheless, there are a lot of people who have different opinions.
Well, I would think that if you were a betting person, you'd say she's not going to be indicted because the president will be campaigning with her as of today. So why would he hitch his wagon to someone who's going to go to the pokey?
He's not a liar. He said he was going to let justice take its course. The man is not a liar. And I really resent that because I think this is a great president with a lot of integrity.
But also, there are issues, and I think this is to Alan's earliest point, about this is sort of the Clinton thing, right? I mean, there are these issues that have dogged them going back to Whitewater and before that will probably, no doubt, no matter what this comes out to be, will continue to dog her.
Right, but in a way, and I know you want to talk about just, you know, her credibility problems in general, I actually think this has been such an ongoing issue with them, Alan, they've almost sanitized it. It's almost like, okay, yeah, here's another allegation against us. You know, nothing to see here. Everybody knows that, you know, we have a different interpretation of the truth than everybody else, but it still doesn't affect our core values, and, you know, it's not going to
prevent her
people
from... It's a vast right-wing conspiracy.
Right, exactly.
Even
which,
Sandy
by
Berger
the way, it was. It was
what?
A vast right-wing conspiracy at the time, that whole business. And I just applauded her. Everybody else got mad at her, but I thought she was great.
All right, let's go to some letters before we
okay,
go.
Okay, Barbara says, I really like Rich. These arguments sound like Fox News talking points. Sorry to hear him speak this way. Barbara, where have you been? Michael says,
what do you mean by that?
Well, because Rich always talks that way. Okay.
But that was a shot.
It was a shot. Michael says on Hillary, Allen and panel, what I don't get is within the State Department must have been clear that she was not using a department email address. If this was such a problem, why was it not raised internally years
ago? You think?
Yeah.
Not only within the State Department, when you get an email from anybody else in the government and it says .gov, but then you get an email from Hillary Clinton and it says at HillaryClinton.com. I mean, how did that even get past people's spam filters?
Well,
I mean,
the question is, people had
to actually say, what is going on here?
Right, your question
oh,
is,
it's Hillary. It's fine. Let her in.
Do
it's
you
fine.
Talk to your boss? I mean, she was the boss. And you're right. I mean, I think that is an issue. Who is going to pull the plug on the boss? Right, Ray? Would you talk that way to me?
Never, sir.
Yeah.
No, not to you,
no,
sir.
No.
Not here, anyway.
So you want more or not?
Yeah, we have time for
a few more. Okay.
Easy. I still don't think she's going to get indicted.
She's not. Right. Charles Ortel and investigative reporting to the Clinton Foundation. Dear Roundtable, before Democrats go to the polls and blindly vote for Hillary Clinton, they should look up Charles Ortel's investigation. The Clinton Foundation is not legal in any way and is probably why Hillary chose a server in her home and put national security. You know, this is made up stuff. I mean, you could say it's because.
Why did she do it, Alan?
I don't know why she did it.
What's her profit?
Okay, I'll tell you what her problem is. The reason I voted for Bernie. In the beginning, is that I think that there's a certain amount of arrogance with this woman, and I think with her husband. And I think that's what gets everybody into trouble eventually when they succumb to that. I don't like that part about them. I think it is part of their psychopathology, which is get into trouble and then get out of it, which is interesting to me. Anyway, I must raise strong objection to comments made this morning by a member of the roundtable seeming to call President Obama a liar. That's you, Rich. We should
just in case
wasn't that
forgot.
Ray? I think that was
no,
Ray.
No, that was not Ray.
We should be able to disagree with a political action or policy without this, and that's from Regina.
Okay, can I just say?
Yes.
If
course.
You like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. What part of that was true?
Oh, see, now, but what's interesting about that is you, like all of them, revert to this whole business about...
Are you holding your brain?
I'm holding my brain.
Obamacare. As Pete always used to say, the height of pedagogy is repetition. And if there's one thing, you don't have anything else, so you keep going back to that.
I'm not repeating it any less than he did when he said it, Alan.
Disgusting.
All right, 20 seconds, and we're going to pause there. We'll let everybody calm down. We'll let Rich put his brain back
yeah.
in his head.
Staple that thing in.
That shouldn't take long.
And we'll be back with more. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. I think
things are heating up.
I think we struck a nerve. Oh, we have a lot of letters
this morning. Things are heating up.
No, all right. We cooled off during the break.
Yes, we did. Yes. The people are still writing in, but that's
okay.
What'd you say, Ray?
No, let's hear from the lumpen proletariat. Let's do it.
All right, let's go to the letters, and then we'll move on to some other subjects in the remainder of our program. A lot about the word why, liar, lying.
Again, tell me what part of that statement was true, and I'll withdraw. And if you can, I'll withdraw the statement.
All right, with that, let's go to the letters.
Oh my goodness,
boy.
And they're coming
right,
in.
Whatever.
They're really coming in. Okay, Leslie says the meeting between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch lasted roughly about 20 minutes, not an hour, as your panel member, Rich. That's the name is Rich Honig.
Actually, he didn't say that. That was his meeting with President Obama, not with Loretta Lynch.
Oh, Bill Clinton. No. That's yeah. That's correct. You're
but she is correct. Yeah, she is correct. The tarmac meeting was a short meeting.
He repeats and exaggerates the same tired conservative rhetoric. That's you, Rich.
Thank you.
Why should we believe anything he said? Russ says,
I believe you, Rich.
Why, if Mrs. Clinton email is so egregious, was the head of the NSA CIA not also indicted? His email account was hacked while he was still using it. Also, it seems to be forgotten that every Secretary of State before Clinton used their own email account server.
With permission. Just saying, with permission.
Well, the question is, who does the Secretary of State get permission from? In other words,
the law?
Who
the Constitution?
No, the United States Code annotated? No. But if permission is given within an agency, it would seem to me that the boss of the agency can give herself that permission.
So she can do whatever she wants?
not whatever she wants. She can't murder you, although there are days.
Okay. All right. Check, please.
Wait, do we really think Hillary could? Well, all right.
Okay, here we go.
Ray, she could have you off.
Believe me.
John, why did Hillary, did this? Here's something the panel hasn't thought about. Stupidity. I work in an IT field. Whenever it comes to security, people are incredibly, in capital letters, stupid, and do things that they'd never do offline. Yes, that includes questioning why an email is coming from a private server. Nobody ever looks at that, actually. Actually, the word of the 1980s, actually.
Actually.
Actually. Very good.
Okay.
Can I ask this is a somewhat on-the-topic question, but when Bernie Sanders, at the very beginning of the campaign, as things were heating up, and he was starting to emerge as a contender, and they had their first debate, and he said, I, like the rest of America, are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Right.
Was that a strategic error on his part, and there was something there, or B, was it his way of putting aside a topic that he felt and that his people felt was A, not viable politically, and B, that there was no merit to it?
There may be a C in there, in addition to A and B. I think that it was strategic. In other words, I think he said, look, people see me as this automaton. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to smile. And it worked. It worked like crazy. People really liked the fact that he did it. Anyway, you want to hear more or not?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Rich, dump him, please.
Oh. Thank you. There we go.
Oh, come on.
Ouch.
Alan, I agree with you in general regarding having conservative voices on the show. That's what they always say.
That's like starting with all due respect. Now you know the hit is coming.
Or as we say in our Saturday night service or Friday night service, the bracha before the meal.
Okay. Here we go.
I agree with you in general regarding having conservative voices on the show. But Rich regularly spills over into spewing garbage like his insinuation this morning regarding President Obama's meeting with the Attorney General and then calling him a liar. It follows that the right-wing tiresome playbook, just repeated enough times, the rabble will believe it. Please find someone else. No, I'm not finding anybody else. I know Joe's not finding anybody else.
I was asked a direct question by Alan. Yeah.
We love you.
I mean, I didn't.
We love you.
Can we get G. Gordon Liddy on?
Yeah. There are
Is
limits.
He still with us?
I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
I think so, yeah.
No.
To Rich's point.
Doesn't really matter.
To Rich's point, did you have to change your health plan when Affordable Care Act was passed? I didn't have to change mine. I like my plan and my doctor, and I kept both.
Good. You were not one of the 6 million people
who had
to.
Do you know that that's true?
Yes, I do.
Oh, come on. Some people lost their doctors because the private sector chose to cut many plans instead of making them ACA compliant. That's corporate greed, not the fault of the president, who's trying to increase U.S. health care to the level of the rest of the civilized world.
I've heard that Democratic talking point, too. It's like, no, it wasn't. It was the insurance companies who cut your plan only because they had to comply with the law that we passed.
People can be mean to Rich, and people can write in and say that you're spewing talking points and whatever the case may be, but the American people polled, Donald Trump comes in as more trustworthy than Hillary Clinton. Like, that is an issue.
Half
like, that, right? I mean, that's...
But is it? Do people care?
Do people really care?
I don't know.
And we heard from Susan, who said, while I'm a liberal, I welcome Rich's presence on the roundtable. I don't gain anything by listening only to people whose opinions are similar to my own. He is intelligent and injects some humor, and I'm happy he's there.
Thank you.
So there you are.
There you
Rich.
Go.
There you have a defender. And then Steve says, Rich, you infuriate me. I look forward to your next time on the round.
I love that.
That's great.
I love that.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
David DeSantis, a frequent correspondent, ACA allowed people enrolled in a plan before ACA to keep that plan, and insurance companies were allowed to continue offering that plan for prior enrollees. Insurance companies on their own, and not because of ACA, decided to cancel these nonconformity plans. It is totally inaccurate to blame ACA for people not being able to keep their plan. Insurance companies have been canceling policies well before ACA.
I take issue with that, but I have data on that I will come back with next time.
Okay. Okay. Well, all right.
Data.
Yeah. Facts. Schmacks. Facts. Schmacks.
Okay. And Bob says,
you've never come in with data, Ray.
No. Kidding me? I don't even like to come in.
Okay, and Bob said, hi. Alan said, President has great integrity. However, President Obama, in his interview with BBC, trumpeted he's proud of his decision not to use the Washington playbook. As a result, there are over 400,000 dead in Syria, and the continent of Europe is being destabilized by people fleeing Syria. And Steve says, how many times have we heard those on the left still criticizing the Bush administration for its standing on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? I'm one of them, by the way, in the Iraq before the war. Yet Rich isn't allowed to quote Obama, keeping your plan and your doctor. Seems like a double standard, Alan. Don't you see? I do see, Steve. And, what, did you find something?
No, I thought adding the don't you see was a clever
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, yeah, that was a nice shot.
Did
yeah.
you see something?
That was great. It was funny. It's a so shot at you, sir. So, but he did it with love, though.
So anyway, the point really is the guy got us into a war in Iraq. He lied about weapons of mass destruction. We all know it now. He's admitted there were no weapons of mass destruction. What are you talking about? Okay. Anyway, James says, Rich, I may not know exactly what you're talking about, but I like my doctor and kept my doctor through the implementation of the Health Care Act and through different jobs, so I can't understand your comments. Okay. And David says, of course, Alan sees this as a vast right-wing conspiracy. Every political action he doesn't like is always caused by some vast paranoid conspiracy by corporations and the 1%. Political actions he likes, though, he always sees from hard and honest work. And that's from Stan in Albany. And Daisy said, why aren't you talking about the 5 million emails lost by Rove and his cronies during the Bush years? If Hillary isn't guilty of anything, if Hillary is guilty of anything, it's paranoia. But I would be paranoid, too. The relentless criticism and scrutiny she has endured, it's above and beyond and fed by the Republican machine, and that's from Daisy.
I actually don't disagree with that. I think that she had, I'm not saying it excuses her actions, but, I mean, she has been one of the most put upon public figures. And I'm not saying she doesn't bring some of it on herself, but even as First Lady, which is traditionally a place where you know you're kind of immune from criticism, I think Daisy has a point on that one.
Mm-hmm. And John says, oh my God, among the worst Republican candidate in anyone's memory, Hillary can't rise above 44% and is often tied with Trump in polls. Her supporters seem to be oblivious as to how bad a candidate she is. Never mind her unforced errors and immense problems and trustworthiness. One can only hope that the superdelegates, oh God, will have a crisis of conscience at the convention and nominate Bernie, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, or anyone but Hillary. Whew. We have one guy. I just want to repeat the rules. Who has now written four letters today?
Oh yeah, one.
Yeah, one guy, and he's not getting on. He's not getting his letter read because he's breaking the rules.
The rule is
the rule. You get one.
One to a customer.
One to a customer
per show.
And don't be a pain.
All right, one more letter, and then we'll go to a break.
Okay. To Rich, I like my health care plan. I still have it. I like my doctor, and I still see him. All right.
Okay, so let's pause there. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Waka Waka, offering solar-powered flashlights and phone charges that provide light and power to people who don't have access to electricity. No batteries or outlets needed. Share the sun. Waka-Waka.com. Norman Rockwell Museum, Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Featuring Rockwell and realism in an abstract world. Open daily, Thursdays until 7 for summer evenings with art series, nrm.org. Williamstown Theater Festival, Williamstown, Massachusetts. Presenting Marissa Tomei in Tennessee Williams' The Rose Tattoo, directed by Trip Coleman on the main stage. WTFestival.org. And Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire. Now featuring Black River Meats, grass-fed, green-finished natural beef steak and burgers with no growth hormones or antibiotics. WhitneysFarm.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Last call for letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Donald Trump on Monday defended a tweet that described Hillary Clinton as crooked and the Drew Heat for containing an image that appeared to originate among white supremacists online. The defense started Monday morning when Trump on Twitter repeated his frequent criticism of the media, saying the use of a star in a since-deleted tweet was misinterpreted. The original tweet at 9:37 Saturday, the day Clinton was meeting with the FBI, showed a red Star of David shape against a backdrop of $100 bills. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee deleted that tweet by 11:19 a.m. and replaced the star with a circle in a subsequent missive. Who wants to take first crack on that?
Well, you know, you'd have to be a dope not to know that that was a Jewish star. Somebody already wrote in and said, you know, that sheriffs wore stars. I don't think they wore Jewish stars. But you know, and it was historically an image that had been used before, an anti-Semitic image that had been used before the whole thing. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why he would do it. Who knows? Every time there's a political movement, somebody on the far left or the far right adopts it and tries to use it for their own, you know, purposes.
Do you think it was consciously done or was just a mistake?
I don't know.
I don't even get the argument. Is the argument that he's anti-Semitic? Is that the charge?
Yeah, that's the argument.
So the Democrats are charging Trump of being anti-Semitic?
I don't know that is the charge as much as it is to what both Ray and Alan were just discussing, that there just seems to be a haphazard disregard for checking the material that is being put out, and there were several times that various things, including headlines from the National Enquirer that have been tweeted out under Trump's account, that perhaps should have been vetted a little more carefully. And I think the charge is this is yet another example of a candidate who does something somewhat recklessly.
Oh, okay. But so it's not an anti-Semitism thing.
Well, I think that certainly the image could be is certainly.
But my question was, is the assertion, you know, that he did it on purpose?
Well, yes.
To be anti-Semitic.
And that's the thing. I mean, I would tend to agree with you that it seems to just be.
Well, I don't know if it is not. I'm asking.
Yeah,
it
just, well, I don't know. Alan seems
okay,
to
Okay, let me read you something from Anne, who said, I heard the discussion at 7:45 this morning, and it sounded like Alan wasn't aware that the images in Trump's anti-Semitic tweet were lifted directly from a white supremacist account, including the picture of Hillary, the money, and the star. There is proof online, including a post to that person from someone else, pointing out that Trump had tweeted his image. All the denials from Trump's camp are now pure sophistry.
I hear that. I just don't get is the charge that he was anti-Semitic, or the charges that he kind of recklessly lifted?
One of his people did, clearly.
Well,
right?
I think
I don't know. I never know who's really doing that. I always think it's him.
Yeah, maybe.
Right.
Well, he tends to retweet a lot of stuff.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a Twitter guy.
Alan, what do you think about this?
Well, look. Once again, we know that Trump is a man who will say anything at any given time. We all know that. Even Rich knows that.
Sure.
Yeah. And you know, he doesn't tend to apologize for what he does. Sometimes he walks it back a bit. But he'll say, you know, there was no such intention. And then that'll be the end of that one.
And I think this will be the end of it. I mean,
he has defended this tweet, and he also, but he did delete it. We should note that. We'll also note
but,
that
I mean,
the,
no, nobody actually thinks he's anti-Semitic, right?
There is the question of the son-in-law, because the son-in-law is an Orthodox Jew, is a publisher of a paper, mm-hmm. You know, and is extraordinarily respected. I think it's fair to say.
And plays a large role in the campaign.
Okay. Is apparently, according to I think the New York Times this weekend, it was somebody. He is the de facto you know, campaign manager now.
Well, they say he's the person who will smooth things over. He's sort of the good cop.
Okay.
So I doubt you would say to an Orthodox Jew, you know, I'm an anti-Semite. Although stranger things have happened, and history we've seen it.
But does it play again? No matter where it came from, does it? And we say this all the time about Trump. But okay, regardless of whether he meant it or not, and how he meant it, does it play to the base? Does it play to his base?
Yes.
So
yes, it does. And there is, of course, a moral silent majority. Moral has quotes around it, of course, that he is playing to. And one of the most interesting things about this election, just like the British example, is we really don't know who's going to come out. We just don't know who's coming out and how many of the people he's playing to are there. I suspect he thinks there are more than other people do.
The Clinton campaign said that Trump, quote, should be condemning hate, not offering more campaign behavior and rhetoric that engages extremists.
I don't know. I'm one of those guys who's overly sensitive to anti-Semitism, and I didn't pick it up from this story, but I certainly agree with all the accusations that, you know, the guy shoots from the hip and, you know, throws out a million
perhaps
things.
A little recklessly,
yeah,
so.
More than reckless.
But that's hardly news at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say that you know, if you are a Trump supporter, you have to accept his recklessness, and if you're a Hillary supporter, you have to accept her challenges with the truth, and I don't think it matters to either one on the base. Alan, you think either it's not going to affect either of them with their base, and I don't even know that.
Oh,
it affects
no,
them with
I don't
the
think the question here, Rich. You're a very sophisticated lawyer, and I appreciate that.
Was that a shot?
No, not at all. That was just telling him he's a very sophisticated lawyer. However, from a political point of view, it ain't the diehards who are for you that is there's a stake here. It's the people in the middle. It's the independents. It's the people who someday wake up with a good angel on one shoulder or a bad angel or a little devil on the other shoulder. And those are the people who are being fought over in this election.
Yeah, but I don't think any of the independents are necessarily going to be put off by Hillary because, oh my God, she doesn't tell the truth. You know.
Yes, they will.
You think?
Oh yes, they will. Which is why the Republicans keep saying it over and over and over again. First of all, because it's all they got. Second of all, it's what they continue to do because they she did this. And most people don't know a thing. I mean, a thing about politics.
See, I think it's I actually think it's a winning issue for her if she could keep people on that issue. And keep away from things like her stint at Secretary of State. What? Am I still in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't know why you're going in and out.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, I was hitting my mute button, but apparently it mutes his mic, which is
very
interesting,
nice.
Actually.
Oh, that's very nice.
Here,
try
say
that
something.
Again.
All right.
And you agree with
me.
And you
so
agree with
10,000 listeners are now asking you to hit your mute button.
Yeah, about
no,
that.
No, on the contrary, just so don't anybody doesn't think, I mean. I know Ray's. I know Ray's philosophy, and, you know, I don't think there's any doubt, and I say this only because he's announced that I wasn't at the second half of the James
I
Taylor
didn't.
Concert. Yeah, oh, you did. Concert that I can say with some fairness.
I didn't know that was
Ray
a sin.
Ray is somewhat sympathetic to your point of
you
view.
You see, people who allow, but I don't get it. I mean, who cares whether you were at the second
There's
half
been a
of the
lot
show,
of violations
right?
of radio protocol
JT
during the show.
JT might care.
Oh, I see. Sorry, JT. He was there.
Right.
And JT listens to this radio
station.
Okay,
well, I'm sure he would let you go because you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, right?
I know, but you blew my cover. And,
I had no
and
idea it was top
his,
secret. Maybe you should have put it on Hillary's email server.
Person,
would have been fine.
And his person, Ellen S. Kusserman, was very nice in terms of, you know, where we were going and all the rest. So you know.
Clearly he would have noticed your entourage getting up and leaving as you were going, right?
Are we out of time?
No, let me turn my mic off.
No, we have 4 minutes left. All right. Oh, gee, it seemed like we were out of time. All right. Let's go to some letters, Alan.
Oh, let's go to some letters, Joe.
Yes.
Okay. And here we go. Got to do this, then you got to do that, then you do this. Okay. Okay. We'll start all the way up here. Whoa. Tweet. I think the problem, anti-Semitic tweet. I heard the discussion at 7:45. Oh, yeah. No, we did
you
that
did
one.
That
we
one.
Did that one.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he's
got
to go to the top there.
Cogent. Yeah. Come on.
All right. Relax. Don't swear.
I think the problem with the image on Trump's Twitter is that it shows he's or whoever is controlling the accounts is irresponsible. Who from his campaign is looking at this stuff? Also, I think
that's a valid point. Yeah, right?
I do too.
Yeah. Also, I
it's
think
it's just
if,
a known issue.
Also, I think if it comes from an account, it's on you. We need to stop letting him skate on tweets from his account. And that's from James.
Both good points.
Yeah,
right?
Agreed.
All right. And then Tom says, it's a question of responsibility. Irrespective of whether Trump is actually an anti-Semite, many of his supporters are. By tweeting something that could be construed as anti-Semitic, he has done damage to the Jewish community.
Where did he make that referential leap from?
I'm not done with this particular letter yet.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Just a few more words.
Donna has more to say.
Okay. But more or so because he refuses to take responsibility for the wrongness of reposting such an image. Go, Rich.
I just didn't understand where did this guy make the leap from that many of Trump's supporters are anti-Semitic? I hadn't been aware of that. I mean, is he now arguing that are the Democrats now arguing that somehow Trump is infringing on their monopoly on anti-Semitism? Is that the issue?
Oh, come on, that's just so beneath you. Ellen says, so Trump gets it both ways again. Informed people widely agree that he's not anti-Semitic, and yet the thing is still out there. And yes, it plays to his base that love this sort of thing. Another media coup for him. Hillary, on the other hand, gets slammed from both sides. Shan says, okay. Oh, my gosh, this sophisticated lawyer, what do you think about if Trump posted a rebel flag? I suppose that wouldn't make him in line with slavery and people, that type of thing would, of course, not come on trouble. That's what it says. It's a little hard to figure out. They are
correct, though, if a rebel flag would be an offensive image.
Could it be possible?
You would think even Trump wouldn't do that, but you never know.
Michael says, could it be possible? He said, first of all, he says, hello, roundtable.
Hi.
Could it be possible that Trump did this to draw attention away from Clinton's interview? Some anti-Semitism probably wouldn't cost him base voters and would allow headlines away from Hillary trying to clear up the email. Keeping the headlines on him worked during the primaries. Keep up the great work, everybody. And Rich, I'm assuming everybody includes you.
Okay.
I want to make that
we'll
point.
See. He may follow up with another letter saying that everybody does not include Rich.
I hate Rich.
All right, we are out of time.
Oh, boy.
But I want to thank everyone who wrote in, at least most of you, and I want to thank all of you for being here. Alan and Ray and Rich, thank you. We'll be back tomorrow with another panel. We will be back with more Roundtable right after the short break.